Begin the current daven, Saftas Baba Kama, Daf Yud Gimel. Begin 4 lines down with the top of the Yomid. The Gemara continues from the discussion of the previous daf. That is, the Gemara had quoted the halacha from Mishnah that there are certain qualifications for the liability of damage of another item. Specifically, our Gemara quoted that the Mishnah said it has to be nechasim she'im b'hem me'ilah. It has to be items that were damaged that there wouldn't be halachas of me'ilah, which would apply by kachin. Because if it does have me'ilah, then one wouldn't be liable. Now, that the Gemara had made an inference, which sounds like that there could be that there's no me'ilah. As long as there's no me'ilah, there would be liability, even though it's kachim. What would that case be discussing? So that the Gemara says, the town of Amishra would be like Rabbi Yosef Glili, who holds that kachim kalim, when it's still alive, before it's shechted, is considered mamon bailam. So although it is ba'ashem, as we learn at the source from Bechichish Ba'misa, where it says amol amol ba'ashem, where it's something related to Hashem, at the same time it's still denying your friends, it's his item. What's that? That's like a korban shlamim before it's sacrificed. It's considered shayri ehu, and therefore a person that has his ox scoring that ox would be liable. Therefore, although there's no me'ilah, and although that it's kachim, there is going to be a liability. So that Agamar quotes now this statement and elaborates on it, especially as we had brought it on the bottom of that amid in regards to seemingly a contradiction between Rav Nachman's interpretation of a Mishnah Maaser Sheni and this Brisa of Rabbi Yosef Glili, which Ravina had answered, which the Gemara had clarified to say, as Rashi had elaborated, and that's what we're going to quote now, that Brisa is discussing the halacha of Bechor, and therefore a difference between the halachas of Bechor when it's Michaim and the halachas of all of the Kachim when it's Michaim. So the Gemara quotes Gufa. We learn in the Brisa as follows. Pasuk says, Umola mol ba'ashem. Which again, this pasuk is in Vayikra, Parakeh, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, that talks about a person that's v'chichesh ba'misoi. He denies the person ever gave him a deposit. And he says, what do you mean? I gave this to you to watch. And he denies, and then he swears, and then he admits. So then there's liability for this shvus ha'bikad, the oath that he took for lying, which is a karbon, and the karen, and the chaymish. Now, why does it say mal ba'ashem? If it's talking about ben odom l'chaveiroi, so what does that have to do with Hashem? Says the Brisa, L'rabbis kachim kalim, it's coming to include kachim kalim, karbanis, which are the lower level kachim, shehem emaynei, where that it's considered the ownership, it's owned by amisai, and therefore it would be considered the shvus habikadon, but it's still somewhat of Hashem, because it's a karban, that's what's being alluded to with the word Bashem, that's the Rabbi Yosef Glili. Now, the Gemara continues, now this part of the Brisa we had brought in the previous daf, now the Gemara continues quoting the rest of the Brisa. Benazai Omer, he says, L'rabbis es hashlam. This word, mal ba'shem, is coming to include the halachas of shlamim regarding if someone gave his friend a deposit, hey, watch my carbon shlamim for me, and then he denies, and then he swears, that's what's being included. Abu Yezid ben Destoyim, he says, no, he says, loy ome ben Aza, he disagrees on what ben Aza had said. Ben Aza, he said, ele b'b'chor b'lvat, only by b'chor. By the firstborn animal, that's where this halacha of ba'shem is being included in regards to being considered the mammon of the bailam, to be considered v'chichesh ba'misai, but not anything else. Now, Gemara explains the Brisa. Amamar, the master said, Benazai Yomer, the second opinion mentioned was Benazai, L'rabbis says Hashlam, that is coming to include the Karban Shlam. So the Gemara says, L'mutei, what is he excluding? I mean, you're basically including all Kachim Kalim. What is Benazai excluding when he's saying that it's coming to include a Karban Shlam? And that is Ilim L'mutei Bechor, if he would entertain to say that he's excluding the firstborn animal, where there he wouldn't be considered the Mum and Bailam. And actually would be exempt if you deny having such a bekatan. Well, hashta, but ask the Gemara, mashlam, if we find by carbon shlam. Shetu'un m'smicha. There are certain requirements that are necessary for a carbon shlam. One is that the owner has to lean on it before it's brought as a carbon. U'nesachim, there's what's called the michas nesachim. There's the libations of the flower offering, which is 3 esrainim of flour when it's brought as a par, 2 esrainim, which is a type of the measurement when it's a ram, 1 esrain when it's a keves, when it's a lamb, as the Gemara Masechta Menachos Daf Samach Alef Amud Aleph explains, which that applies when you bring a korban shlamim, in contrast to a bechor, by a firstborn, you're not going to be doing smicha, neither nesachim, and the tenufas chazav v'shaik, and moreover, a third stringency that a shlamim has, is that it has to have the elevation of the breast and the thigh, which are given to the kayan. And still, Amrit Mama Bailam, who although there's elements of Kachim to it, it's Hashem's where it has all these different requirements of Kachim to it, and still you're saying that it's being considered, because that's what Benaz is including as the Shlamim, you're saying it's still considered Mama Bailam, like it's owned by the owner. So Bechor Mebaya? So do you have to say that a firstborn animal is going to be considered Mama Bailam to be included in V'chichesh Ba'misai? Because as Rashi explains, and this is what we had discussed on the previous daf, and moreover, as Rashi had said on the top of this Amid, discussing this Gemara's conclusion. Here we're talking about not just any firstborn animal, it's a firstborn from Chutz La'aretz, which was from out of Eretz Yisrael. Now, since, as we explained in the previous daf, that's not a carbon, as Reb Shimon said, it's not going to be brought as a carbon, because only if you do bring it, but initially it should be left to graze and not being brought as a carbon. So that right that the owner has, that the Kohen gets from it, is not Meshulchan Gevoy, he's not getting it through a medium from Hashem, because it's not fit for Hashem. It's not being brought as a carbon, which again, as we explained, according to even Rabbi Yisya Galili, because if not, then it would be Meshulchan Gevoy Kozocha, and if it would be, then it wouldn't be considered Mamon Bailim, even right away when it's alive, when it's born. So then the question is, if the Bechor that we're discussing is obviously, even according to Rabbi Yisya Galili, includes all Kachem Kalim, when it includes Bechor to be considered Mamon Bailim, is only when it's from Chutz La'aretz, as Ravine had answered in the previous stuff, so then how could Ben Aze be excluding Bechor? Obviously not. Because Bechor doesn't need Smicha, Nesachem, Tnubas, Chazav, because it's not being brought as a carbon. It's going to go straight to the Kohen, he can do whatever he wants with it, because it's from Chutz La'aretz. So then, of course, that's going to be included in Mamon Bailim. So what is Ben Aze excluding when he says, L'Rabbi Shlomim, it's definitely not excluding Bechor. It says, L'mu'ute Meiser, rather it's coming to exclude Meiser Behema, which is one out of every tenth animal that has to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash, and brought as a carbon shlamim. Now, so although it's brought as a carbon shlamim, as the Gemara says in the last paragraph of Masechtas Bechoros, Daf Samach Amud Aleph, even so, it's not going to be considered mamon bailim, even when it's alive, seemingly like a regular carbon shlamim, where that's what's being excluded, although seemingly it's the same thing, it's brought as a carbon shlamim, still it's excluded, because Tanya, like we learned in the Braisa, that even when it's alive, it's not considered mamon bailim. Because the Braisa contrasts the halachas of Bechor and the halachas of Maiser. Bibachar, by a firstborn when it's unblemished, when it's tam. Nehmeh, the pasuk says, it says, ach bachar shar, however, the firstborn of the animal, it says, loy sifta, that it shouldn't be redeemed. What that tells us is that there's no halachas of pidyon, meaning you cannot remove the sanctity like you could do by other karbanas, you could be paid it onto money or to something else, and that animal goes out to chulin. That you can't do. You can never take a bachar and remove its sanctity, in other words, although by other kabbanas, you could then, once you removed its sanctity, you redeemed it, you could sell it in the marketplace, you can sell it by weight. Bechor, animal, will always have its sanctity, you can't redeem it. Now, so you can't redeem it. However, v'nimkar, but it could be sold. So someone, you get money out of it, but you just can't redeem it. Whoever buys it is going to have to utilize it in its sanctified way. But you could sell it, tam chai. If, let's say, it's unblemished, you could sell it when it's still alive, and then the one who purchased it will have to eat it with its sanctity when it develops a blemish, or at the times when the Beis HaMikdash is around, he could actually bring it as a carbon himself. Ubamum, and when it's blemished, then he could sell it chai v'shachet, either alive or even slaughtered, because you could slaughter it, it's not considered kachem machutz, because once it has a mum, then doesn't go to the mizbeach anymore, then you could sell it even slaughtered. So that's regarding the halachas of Bechor. Continues the Braisa, b'maiser nema, but by maiser, by the tenth animal, which a person has to bring from his herd up to the Beis HaMikdash, there it says in the pasuk lo yigoyel. There can't be any redemption for it. Which the Gemara Masechtas Bechoros Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph learns that it says lo yigoyel by Ma'aser Behemah. It says lo yigoyel by the halachas of Cherim, of Haramim. Where just like over there it says lo yimachir b'lo yigoyel. So just like over there, the term lo yigoyel includes with it lo yimachir, can't be sold. So too over here by Ma'aser Behemah, when it says lo yigoyel, it also includes not being able to sell it with it. So therefore the Braisa says the ein nimker. So by Ma'aser Behemah, it can't even be sold. Lo yichai b'lo yishachet, not if it's alive, not if it was slaughtered. Lo yitam b'lo bamum, not if it's unblemished, or not if it's blemished. So what you see from this is that Ma'aser Behemah is not considered Mamon Bailim. You don't own it. Not only can you not redeem it like Bechor, but you can't even go ahead and sell it. By Bechor, at least you could sell it. Here, you can't even sell it. What does it mean you can't sell it? Because you don't own it. And therefore, there you would be exempt from Shavuos HaPikadon. And that's what Ben Aze is coming to say when it's L'Rabbi Shlomim. Again, not L'Mute Bechor, because obviously Bechor, which is from Chutz La'aretz, for sure would be considered Mamon Bailim. Rather, he's excluded Ma'aser Behemah, which even when it's alive, although ultimately it's brought as a Korban Shlamim, it's different than the Korban Shlamim, and it's not considered Mamon Bailim. So that's one version of this halacha of Rabbi Yechonat's interpretation of this Braisa, Ben Aze's opinion. Now, Ravina Masin La'Seif, he actually learns Rabbi Yechonat's interpretation, which we said it was L'Mute Ma'aser, not on the first version of Benazir in the Braisa, which his words were l'rabbis es hashlamim into what's being considered v'chichish ba'misai and still mal mal ba'ashem, which is excluding Meiser, rather he learns it on the second version of Benazir. Because the Braisa continued and said, Abba Yisi ben Destoyim, or he disagreed with the first version of the Braisa and what Benazir's opinion was. He said, lo yom Benazir el b'b'chir b'vad. That Benazir only said his opinion in b'chir itself. And again, this was what we had referenced from Rashi in the Tab of this Amos in the previous staff. That's why the Gemara Ravina had answered for the Braisa of Rabbi Yisai Glili in regards to halachas of b'chir, because as we see, this version of Benazir was saying that the halacha of Mamun Bailam only refers to Bechair, and as Rashi had said, Benazir was explaining and qualifying the halacha of Rabbi Yisai Glili. That's why Ravina had answered it in the terms of Bechair, not just by any regular Karban Shlamim, which Rabbi Yisai Glili holds, the halacha is going to be Mamun Bailam when it's still alive. But either way, this second version of Benazir says that the halacha of Mamun Bailam is only going to be by Bechair. So the Gemara is Lamutei Mai. What's that coming to exclude? If you were entertained to say that excluding the carbon shlamim, but ask the Gemara hashta. But if you find a ma b'chayr shekod shmirachem, if a firstborn animal that its sanctity is from the womb, the moment it's born, it's already holy. Mamaynahu, and still we say that it's considered the mammon of the bailim. They consider they own it. It's not coming from Hashem, which again we explained that that's referring to when it's from chutz la'aretz, when it's not coming through Hashem. But still we say, even though it's Kedushas Mirachim, it's considered as Mammon, Shashlamim Baya, where you have to entertain by regular animal, where you buy from the marketplace, and then you say, I want to make it a Shlamim, that when it's still alive and wasn't brought into the carbon, do you have to say that it's going to be considered Mammon Bailam? Of course it would be. So how could that be what he's excluding when he says that Bukhar is the only one that's going to be considered Mammon Bailam? So rather, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, it was on this Rabbi Yechanan said, Lemutei Meiser, he's going to exclude the Meiser Behema. It sounds like Lina Braisa, the same source. By the firstborn, it says that you can't go ahead and redeem it onto something else. But it could be sold when it's unblemished, as long as it's alive. But if it's blemished, you could sell it whether chai b'shachet, whether alive or even slaughtered. But by ma'isa, it says the terminology you can't have geula, which tells you from Charamim that it can't even be sold, loy chay v'loy shachet, not alive, not slaughtered, loy tam v'loy bamum, not unblemished or blemished. So that's what the second version of Rabbi Yechanan is saying, that it's on this version of Benazai, when he says only b'chayr, that it's not excluding shlamim, obviously, because shlamim for sure would be considered mamim bailim, because it's not even kedushas meirachim, rather it's concluded ma'iser. This version, the Gemara asks, but ha b'chayr b'lvad kamar. But the wording of this second version of Benazir says, only Bechayr is included in Halacha being considered Mammon Bailam. So how can you say that included with that is Shlamim and it's only excluded Maisa? The Gemara says Kasha is definitely difficult according to that second version of Rabbi Yechanan's qualification of Benazir, where it's going on his second version. How can you say it's including Shlamim and excluding Maisa if his words were explicitly Bechayr Bilvad? Only by Bechayr do we say that it's going to be considered Mammon Bailam. So that concludes the first interpretation of our Mishnah's halacha. This all began because we had quoted the price of Rabbi Yisai Glili, which then we continue quoting the rest of it here with two different versions of Benazai. What is going to be considered umol umol b'ashem? What is it that's, although it's a carbon, but it's still going to be considered mamam b'aylim because the pasuk says v'chichish b'amisai. Is it any kachem kalim, like Rabbi Yisai Glili said, or is it like Benazai's qualifying Rabbi Yisai Glili that it's only by shlamim and not Maisa Behemo, or is it only by Bechayr Bavad, only by the firstborn animal? Only there do we say that it's considered Mammon Bailam when it's still Mechayim. Now, but that was because we had brought in Rabbi Yisai Glili to say that he's the Halach of the Mishnah, where it says Nechasim She'im B'Me'ila, then you're going to be Chayim for Hezek, which the Gemara's Deek was. Oh, only that there's no Me'ila, but it could be Kadshim and not have Me'ila, and then you would be Chayim in Hezek. What's that? That's Kadshim Kalim when it's still alive. Who's that? That's Rabbi Yisai Glili, who holds a kachim kalim before it's brought as a carbon, before the blood is thrown, it's considered mamam bailam. And that you would be chayav for hezek, would be considered shari ehu. Rav Amma, he gives a different interpretation. He says, the me'ila of our Mishnah, don't make an inference to say, oh, if there's no me'ila, but it's still kaidish, and then you'd be chayav. Rather, he says, Mayna chasim she'im me'ila. What does the Mishnah mean to say that you're going to be chayav for damages if what you damage are properties that don't have me'ila? It means nechasim she'im behen din me'ila. It means properties that don't have the halachic status of me'ila. In other words, they don't have any sanctity for Shemayim at all. Because it's only by things of kachay Shemayim that it applies halach as a me'ila. For example, what type of kachim? Kachay kachim. But But my ninu, what is it that's being excluded is the head yet. It's, for example, properties of a regular common person. That's nechasim she'im ben me'ila. But not that it's coming to qualify and say it's going like a b'yusai galili. Even if you don't know like a b'yusai galili, even if you hold that kachim kalim before it's brought as a carbon is considered mamon gevaya. So what is the Mishnah coming to include? It just says things that don't have the halachas of me'ila, meaning referring to all kachim. But any kachim that you're going to be mazik, actually you'd be potter. What is that coming to exclude? That you're going to be chayiv is if it's nechzi head, you're the regular person. Now that the Gemara asks, less than the head yet, then why are you saying this interesting terminology? It definitely sounds like the Gemara's first approach of Rabbi Yochanan to make the deek that it's like a b'yusai klili. Because if not, then just say, if you damage nechzei head, you're going to be chayv. But the Gemara says, kasha, definitely difficult, according to that version of Rabbi's interpretation of our Mishnah. Now, continuing on these halachas of where we were talking about the halachic status of kachim kalim, as we said in the first approach of the Gemara, regarding the Tana of our Mishnah, that Kachim Kalim is Mum and Bailam and is still alive. So we were speaking about in the Mishnah, according to that version of Rabbi Yochanan, that regarding us, regular people, damaging someone else's Kachim Kalim. Now the Gemara explains the other way around. Amar Baba, he says, let's say Shlamim, a carbon Shlamim, which again we're saying according to Rabbi Yochanan, is Kachim Kalim, is considered Mum and Bailam. The owner of the carbon Shlamim is like he owns that. Shehezikoi, if his carbon Shlamim damages someone else's ox, says Rabbi Abba, so Gaiva, so that person, the Nizik, the damaged party, could collect, as it is by a Shur Tam, his Chatzi Nezik, Mibisaron, from the flesh of the Shur Tam, which the halacha is from a Shur Tam, that he pays half the damages. Moreover, you could only collect the half the damages, not from the owner's money, from his bank account, rather only from the ox itself, where you sell that ox and then you take half the money and half of that damages, you half the damages of the nizik goes to the nizik, so you can only collect from the meat, but you can't collect from the sacrificial parts, meaning this shar hamazik, which is a carbon shlamim, which the owner is liable for his damages. The sacrificial parts, they're from Hashem, they go on the mizbeach, that he can't collect from, he can't sell those parts and collect from it. It's only from the meat of the carbon that he could collect from. Now that Gemara is pshita, that's pretty obvious. What's Rebbe Abba telling us? Emurin legavoya salki, the sacrificial parts go up to Hashem. Of course you can't collect from that. So the Gemara says, Loi tzricha, no, what's necessary to say when it's telling us that he cannot collect from the Emurim, of course he's not collecting from the Emurim. Because when Hekdesh is Mazik, you don't collect from it. And that those are parts of Hekdesh. Rather, Legaiva mebisaron keneged Emurim. What it's coming to tell us is regarding collecting from the meat, correlating to the equivalent of the Emurim. In other words, what the Rebbe Abba is coming to teach us is you don't even collect it from the meat part in place of the emurin. So for example, let's say you have an ox that's worth 200. The gore is an ox worth 200. So the halacha usually is so that the damages are 200. And half the damages, let's say, would be 100. So you'd collect 100 from the shar hamazik. Here, we're saying that the 100 that you collect from the shar hamazik, if let's say half the damages are not worth the amount of meat that there is from the mazik, you're not going to say that we're going to collect to supplement and complement the chatzi nezek from how much the emurim are to collect then that more from the meat. You don't say that. Although the chatzi nezek is a certain amount of money and you collect that from the whole animal, that's only you qualifying based on the meat itself, but you don't qualify based on the emurim. So the Gemara asked, Alibi Deman, who's that going like? And that is because, if it's going like the Rabbanon, which this is in regards to a Machlikas, Reb Nosson, and the Rabbanon, later on, Perk Shosh, Nagei Chazapar, and Dafnan Gilim Medalf. There, the case that they're discussing is regarding an ox that pushes another ox into a pit. And then the ox gets damaged. So the halacha that's brought over there, and the Mefarshim explain differently than how it's brought here in the Rashi over here, that by a sure tam, who's Chayev Chatzi Nezek, so the owner of the ox has to pay half the damages, and the owner of the pit is going to be exempt. Why? Because it's the one that caused the damage was the shur that pushed it in. And the shur hamu'id, so then the owner of the shur has to pay all the damages, and the owner of the pit is going to be exempt. So what do you see from the opinion of the Rabbanan? That obviously, when you cannot collect from the owner of the shur, you don't collect from the owner of the pit, even though that's where you found the damages, doesn't make a difference. The one that caused the damage, who you could collect from, is who you collect from. The other one who is a party to it, since they didn't cause it, you don't collect from them, even when the pit did something, which is that's where you found your dead shur. Now, so that asks the Gemara, if Rebab is going like Drabbanan, so Pshita. So it's obvious that you cannot collect from the meat correlating to what you would want to collect from the Imurin, because Amri, they said already, when you cannot collect from one of the parties, you don't collect from the other party. And that is, if let's say the Shar Hamazik paid up what he's going to pay up, but you still have damages you want to collect from, you can't go to the bar. So here also is the same thing. Here, when you're collecting Chatzi Nezek from the meat of the animal, now you're saying, okay, wait a second, but there's still more damages that are done. I'm only getting Chatzi Nezek from you. Now, the Emurin, they did damages, so now I can't collect from the Emurin because they go to Hashem, but the meat should have to compensate for the Emurin part. It's all owned by the same person. So then we say, no, because you're not collecting from the meat part doesn't let you collect from the Emurin part, because the Emurin part is not something that's liable, just like we find by bar, where it's not liable, so because you got damaged by the shor, you're not collecting the rest from the bar. So that's obvious according to Rabbanan. Why would Rabbab have to say this halacha? V'yali with Rab Nosson, if Rabbab is going like Rab Nosson, but Ha'amar, to the contrary, he does say, when you cannot collect from, let's say, the Baal HaShar, where you limited how much you could collect from him, Mishtali Mehai, that you do collect from the Baal HaBar. Because Rab Nosson says, for example, let's say by a Shur Tam, where he says that the owner of the ox pays a quarter, and the owner of Pin has to pay three quarters. And let's say by a Shur HaMuid, where the owner of the Shur pays half, and the owner of the pit pays the other half. Because when you cannot collect from one, you do actually collect from the other party. So therefore the Gemara's question is, so here also, why is Rebbe saying that you don't collect from the meat correlating to what you should really be collecting from the Emurim? What do you mean? Both the meat and the sacrificial parts, which are parts, different fats and parts of the animal, they both cause the damage being part of the Shur HaMazik, which is Hashem's part, and the regular person's part. So then the question then becomes, then why don't you collect from the Emurin part? Now, you can't collect from the Emurin, but then you should, when you can't collect from who damaged you, which is the Emurin part, then you should collect from the other party that was party to the damage. Just like he says by the bar, where he didn't do the damage, the ox pushed him in, but still, when you can't collect from the shur, you collect from the bar. So then actually, why wouldn't you collect? See, the way it's difficult. Either it's obvious, or the question is then, why is it like that? So the Gemara answers, Ibai Seim Reb Nosson, Ibai Seim Rabban. Truth is, you could say like either opinion, and Reb Abba's halacha makes sense. As the Gemara explains, Ibai Seim Rabban, if you want, you could say it's going like Rabbanon. Because Hanimili, when did we say this halacha that we don't say according to Rabbanon? Kileke l'shtalumi mehai, that when you cannot collect from one, then you don't collect from the Baal Habar. That's betray goofy. When did Rabbanon say that? That's when it's two different bodies. You have the Shur HaMazik and you have the Bar HaMazik. So they said that no, the shur caused the damage. You can't collect from the shur. That doesn't let you go ahead and collect from the bar. Aval b'chad gufo, but when it's one body, in other words, if not for Reb Abba's halacha that tells us that you do not collect from the meat correlating to what you would want to collect from the murin, then I would have thought to say motzi amar lei, that then the damaged party could tell the mazik mikol heicha debeina mishtalamna, wherever I could collect from, I'm going to collect from. And therefore, there you would say that if I cannot collect from the Emurin, which damaged me because it's Hashem's, then I'm going to collect from the meat. Because although the Rabban say you don't say that Svara, that's only when there's two different bodies. But when there's one body, of course then you would collect the rest from the meat, which you cannot collect from the Emurin. And anybody say Reb Nosson, if you want, you could say it's like Reb Nosson. Because Hasam hu da amalei baal shur, it's only over there that the owner of the ox that got killed tells the Baal HaBar, to the owner of the pit, I found my ox dead in your pit. So therefore, that's Reb Nosson says, look, I found my dead ox in your pit. You better pay up the damages. Because look, whatever I could pay up from the Baal HaShur, because he caused it, his ox pushed my ox into your pit, I'll collect from him. But my delesli lishtalumi mihayich, mishtalumi minach, whatever I cannot collect from him, I'm going to collect from you. Because my ox died in your pit, and you're a Baal HaBar, and you're chai for damages that are done in your pit. That's where Ibn Nosson says that when I can't collect from one, I'm going to collect from the other. But as we continue to Amid Beis, Aval Hacha, but here in Reb Abba's Halacha, Mi Motzi Amar, could the damaged party say, Basar Azik Emurin Loy Azik? That, wait a second, that the meat is what caused the damage. The sacrificial parts didn't cause the damage? In other words, how can you say that you caused more damage than the sacrificial parts. And therefore, you can't say that. In other words, by the pit, you could say, look, buddy, my animal's dead in your pit. You got to take responsibility. Police come here, they're going to see your pit. They're going to say, you caused the damage. What, you're telling me that an ox pushed in? Fine. What if I could collect from him? Fine. But you caused all the damage. You finished it off. Whereas over here, how can you say that what you cannot collect from the emurim, you're going to come and collect from the buster? Meaning as if these are two different people in the ox. One's owned by a regular person, one's owned by Hashem. You can't collect from the emurim because it goes onto the Mizbeach. When Hekdesh and Mazik, you don't collect from them. Fine, but I didn't cause more damage to the meat, more than the sacrificial parts, more than the emurim. So therefore, look, what he did, he did. What I did, I did. By a pit, Reb Nosson says you can't collect from the show, you collect from the bar, because the bar finished it off. But here you can't say one did more damage than the other, and therefore Reb Nosson would agree, and therefore we could say like either one Rebab is going like, that the halacha would be that although you cannot collect from the emurim, you cannot go ahead and collect that from the basa. And again, like we said, it's not just from the basa itself, because that's obvious. We're saying even the mina from the emurim itself, it's even to correlate from the emurim, what you would want to collect, you cannot collect that from the basa. Continuing on this theme about hekdesh that's mazik, so Amar Rabbi, he says, toidesh azika, before we spoke about a carbon shlam that causes that damages, here we're talking about a carbon toida, which is a form of a carbon shlamim, but it's a unique halacha, which is given on Thanksgivings, that person gives thanks that he was saved from going in the desert or going over the seas. So he brings a carbon toida, so when his carbon toida damages, Kaiva Mibsara, the damaged party collects from the meat itself, as we explained that a Shur Tam could only collect where the damaged party could collect only from the meat of the animal itself. But Ve'ina Gaiva Melachma, it doesn't collect from the breads. In other words, although when someone brings a carbon taida, he has to bring 40 breads with it, so now that animal part caused damage, the Nizik could only collect from the meat part, but he can't collect his Chatzi Nezik from the bread parts too. That's obvious. The bread didn't damage, although it's brought together with that carbon. What would you entertain to say that it's like part of the Shor HaMazik? So the Gemara says, you're right, but Seifa Itzur Chle. It was the end of that halacha, which was of Rava, which was necessary, what's telling us a Chiddush. Rava concludes and he says, Nizik Eichel Basar. The damaged party, as we said, he eats the meat because he's collecting his damage from the meat itself. Now, usually when the Shor HaMazik, you sell it, and then you give half to the Nizik for his damages. But here it's a carbon, so you bring it as a carbon, and then he eats. Let's say he had damages of $200, so half the damage is $100. So $100 worth he eats from the meat itself. And as Rashi points out, obviously after the emurim are sacrificed. And then, says Rava, umiskapa may be lechem. But the one who gets the atonement, meaning the mazik, he has to pay for the bread. So the Gemara says, Hanami Pshita. That's also obvious. What do you mean? The Nizik, I don't have to bring the bread. You were bringing a carbon taida. You're going to damage my animal. So now I get to eat $100 worth of the carbon taida, but why would I have to bring the lechem? Of course, it's your carbon. You bring the breads. So that's the chiddush of Rava, because now the tema, I would have thought to say, Kivin the lechem hechsher de zebachu, the bread is necessary. It's an integral component of the carbon taida. In other words, to bring the carbon, you have to bring the breads. So leimalei, I would think that the mazik could tell the Nizik, At achlit baster, you're eating the meat. I know it's my carbon, but my animal damaged your animal, and now you're eating the meat. V'ano I see lechem, and I have to go ahead and bring the bread? You go bring the bread, because you're eating the meat. It's yours. Kamash malam, that's the chiddush of Rava, the lechem chiyub de ba'alim hu. Although it's integral for the carbon, and yes, he's getting the carbon, the nizik, but since it's your carbon, you're getting the atonement, you're using it for whatever it's coming to the carbon taida, so it's the liability of the owner, and that's the chiddush where he has to go ahead and bring the breads, even though he's going and eating the meat. Now the Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah, which again, we gave different qualifications for when there's a liability of damage. We spoke about previously in the Chasim, She'en ben me'ila. Moreover, a chiv of damage is only in the chasim shein shel b'nei bris. Only if it damages someone else that's from the covenant of the Jewish people, that's someone that you're going to be chayv on hezek, which the Gemara asks lemutei ma, what's the covenant to exclude? So the Gemara says, I lemutei da'vi kachavim, if it's coming to exclude it, that if a Jewish person's ox gores a non-Jew's ox, where he's not a ben bris, and then you're going to be exempt for the damages, on that the Gemara sokotani lekamam, but we already learned this later on in the Mishlam Zayin Mabez, where it says, shoshel Yisrael, shenogach shoshel evi kachavim pater. A Jew's ox that gores a non-Jew's ox is exempt. So why would we need the halacha of our Mishnah to say this same halacha? So the Gemara says, Tanav Had Mefarash, you're right. Our Tanav HaMishnah just alludes to it when it qualifies the necessities of being liable for damages in the words of Nechasa Mishen Shal B'nei Bris. And later Mishnah then elaborates and expounds upon this halacha of saying it has to be a Jew and not a non-Jew. Moreover, the Mishnah says, it's only by nechasim hamiyuchadim, distinct properties, that's when there's a liability of hezek. So the Gemara says, lemutimai, what's that coming to exclude? So Amar Bihudi says, lemu'ute is coming to exclude when ze'oi mesherche hezek, when one guy says, oh, it's your ox that caused the damage, and the other one says, no, it's your ox that caused the damage. In other words, when we don't know whose ox damaged this guy's ox, because they were actually the oxen of many men around, where, as Rashi obviously points out, according to this interpretation, the word nechasim hamiyuchadim of the Mishnah is saying that the properties of the shor hamazik have to be distinct of one person. In other words, if there were many shvarim mazikim that were around, and we don't know which one was the one that damaged, when it's a situation of doubt, that then he's not going to be chayv, because you can only make a person liable if you know for sure who's the shor hamazik. Now that the Gemara asked, Tani l'kamon, but already learned this halacha later on, the Mishnah laf lamehei medalf. The Mishnah there says, this halacha, it says, hoyushnayim, if there were two oxen of two people, that were right for nacha, that were running after the ox of echad, of one person, this one says it was your ox that damaged. And the other one says, no, it was your ox that damaged. So the halacha is not like they both have to share the liability. Shneim b'turim, they're both exempt. So that's the halacha that you're saying is of our Mishnah, nechasim yuchadim. So why is it repeated two times? So the Gemara says, Tani v'had mefarish. It says in our Mishnah in short. And then there, later on, it explains it in greater detail. That's one interpretation of this halacha of our Mishnah. Another interpretation of our Mishnah's halacha is Masnita Tana, in the Braisa we learned, is Prat L'Nichse Hefker. When it's saying that it's Nechasim HaMiyuchadim, it's distinct, meaning it's owned by somebody, it's coming to exclude something that's ownerless, it's not Miyuchad for a person, it's Hefker for anybody, that if regarding such a case, then there's no liability of damages. So the Gemara says, Hey Chedami, what's that case talking about? Ilem Adinagach Tur Didan L'Tur DeHefker, if you would say it's coming to exclude a case of when our ox gores an ox of Hefker, well, Monte Baile, why would I need to say such a chiddush? Who is the claimant in the case to make me liable if it's not owned by anybody? I wouldn't need to exclude that case. Ella rather, dinagach tur dehefke latur didan. Rather, the case would be talking about when an ownerless ox comes and gores our ox. That's where we're saying that then there's no liability of damages. But ask the Gemara, lezo balese, what do you mean? Let him go ahead and take it. What do you mean there's no liability? I will collect my damages. I'll take that hefker ox and take it for myself. So the Gemara answers, b'shekadim b'zocha by achar. The case would be talking about when somebody goes, after that shershel hefker causes damage, it's a roaming ox not owned by anybody and damages something, somebody else then goes and merits it, he does a kinyan on it from hefker. Now he says, but that's a shor hamazik. He says, I'm sorry, it's not nechasim hamiyuchadim. When they caused damage, it was hefker, and you can't go ahead and now take it because someone else already merited. That's where we're saying that there's not going to be a liability to be able to collect from a shershel hefker. That's the second approach. Avinam, he says a third interpretation in this halacha of nechasim yuchadim. Says lemu'uti, it's coming to exclude nagach ve'achikach hektish. If let's say an ox gores and then the owner sanctifies it to Hashem, or nagach ve'achikach hefker, or if it gores and then he declares it ownerless, which that's what the words of the Mishnah means, that it has to be miyuchad, has to be designated for one person throughout the whole period, from the time that it gored until the time that it's taken to court to be able to collect the damages, where you collect from the shartam. Here when he says it's hefker, or he's makdishes to Hashem, now it's not nechasim hamiyuchadim anymore, now you wouldn't be able to collect from that shor hamazik. The Gemara says, Tanam Hoch is similar in the Braisa, like this interpretation of Ravina, which this Braisa is discussing the halachas of shor haniskal, when after an ox gores, then it has to go ahead and be stoned when it killed a person. So on that, says the Braisa, yes, al kein am Rabbi Huda, where it continues, the discussion says, and more than that, Rabbi Huda says, afila nagach v'afkach hektish, even if it gores, and then the owner is makdash, or nagach v'afkach hefker, or if it gores, and then the owner declares it ownerless, pater is going to be exempt. Why? Like it says there in the Pasuk in Shemais, the Pasuk there is talking about a shor hamud, which that's the halacha that then, if it says, v'huad bevalav, as the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, that the owners were warned, and as the Pasuk there continues, v'lo yishmerenu, and still he didn't watch his animal, v'hemis ish v'goymer, and then the Pasuk continues, says that it killed a man or a woman, v'goymer, etc., where the Pasuk sounds like, where it concludes, Hashur Yisakal, the ox gets stoned, Vegamba Olav Yumas, and also the owner has to be killed for not having watched his animal, where it sounds like that it has to have one Baal. It says Baal in the beginning of the Pasuk, Vahud Bevalav, and then it says Baal later on by Vegamba Olav Yumas, which it sounds like that from the moment that the owners get warned until the owner went until the time of the court case, that it has to have one owner, Ba'alav Ba'alav. Achate Misa, until when the murderer of that person was, Bahamad Medin, and until the court case, Shavin Kecha, that they have to all be equal with one owner. So therefore, you see the same halacha that Miyuchadim, with the way Ravina is interpreting the halacha of Mishnah, has to be owned by one person. But if he's mafkered after damages, then it's going to be exempt because it didn't have the Vahuad Bavalav and the same Begamba Alab Yumas throughout the whole proceedings. Now the Gemara just asked on this wording of the Braisa, the Gemara Din Loi Be'inan. In other words, it has to be only that the death of the what the ox caused and then the court case later on, that has to be with the same owner. But the Gemara Din, the conclusion of the court case, you don't need it to still be owned by the same owner. But Ha Hasher Yisakel, but the pasuk there where it says there, even before the words of Begamba Alav Yumas, where it says the ox gets stoned, Begamar Dinhud, that's by the conclusion of the court case. It's only after they conclude the verdict that then they go ahead and stone the ox. And still you see that it has to have Ba'alav there even then there too. So the Gemara says, Elim Emer, rather, yes, say, Ashtay Misa until the death that the ox caused. And then the court case. And the Gemardin, in the conclusion of the court case, Shav and Ke'echer has to be that they're all equal, that the owner owns it throughout the proceedings, because if it doesn't, then there's no liability, then there's going to be an exemption from the halachas of damages, as Ravina explains, halacha of a Mishnah, third interpretation of what does it mean, Miyuchadim has to be Miyuchad, owned by one person throughout. Then the Mishnah said, Chutz Mishusa Miyuchadis Lamazik. So in all these cases, if it's owned by a Jew, if it's Nechasim Miyuchadim, if it's not Hektish, if it's B'nei Bris, we said those are the cases when a person is going to be Chayef for Hezek. And the Mishnah said, but Chutz Mishusa Miyuchadis Lamazik, except if the Nizik's ox, the one who his ox got damaged, went into the courtyard of the Mazik's Rishos, and then the Shurha Mazik damages him over there in the damages property, then he's going to be potter. The mazik is going to be exempt. So the Gemara explains, because the owner of the ox that gored tells to the nizik, turcha b'shusi, my boy, why was your ox in my property? I'm not responsible that my ox gored your ox. It shouldn't have been in my property, and therefore that's going to be exempt. Now, the next words of the Mishnah are, b'shus ha-nizik v'ha-mazik, and the property of the nizik and the mazik. Now, this machlek is how to read these words. And that is, The Mishnah says, so you're going to be chayiv in all these cases, chutz mishus ha-miyuchadis la-mazik, except for the domain that's set aside, it's owned by the mazik, b'rishus ha-nizik v'ha-mazik, and the property that's joint owned by the nizik and the mazik, keshehizik, when it damages, chav ha-mazik l'sham, then the mazik is going to have to pay, tashlum nizik b'meitav ha-aretz. Now, it's not clear where the punctuations are, where the words Rishus HaNizik VaMazik go. Is it from the first part, or is it from the second part? As the Gemara actually has this as a machlekes. Amar Rav Chisda Amar Avim. He says, the following halacha, which will explain the halacha of our Mishnah. He says, Chatzar Shutfen, a field that's owned by partners, Chayivba, the Pasuk says there's going to be a liability, Ala Shein Va'ala Regel, for the Mazik of when, if let's say the animal of one eats the fruits of the other partner in the same field, or he steps on the utensils of the vessels of the other person in the same field, the owner of the shor is going to be chayiv because that's considered ubir biste acher, that it caused damages in another person's field. In other words, what is the importance of meaning another person's field? It means in contrast to rishus harabim, the public domain, where shein v'regel are patur in rishus harabim. This is not considered public domain. It's considered someone else's field. Whereas Rashi points out, obviously there's going to be a liability for Karen and the Toledos of Karen, because Karen, the owner of the ox, is chayiv even Rishus HaRabim. But what Rav Chisda is coming to explain is that the words of the Mishnah, Rishus HaNizik VaMazik, is actually going on the second half, the last part of the Mishnah. Because V'Hachikam, this is what the Mishnah is saying. Chutz Mishus HaMiyuchedes LaMazik, except for a property that's owned only by the Mazik, the Pater, where although his ox caused damage to another person's ox, he's going to be exempt. Now, then continues the Mishnah, v'rishus ha-nizik v'ha-mazik, and then a property that's owned by the damaged party and by the damager, which, for example, a chatzar shutfen, like they owned it, a joint land, that's where the Mishnah continues and says, k'shehizik chav ha-mazik, when he damages, then the mazik is going to be chayiv. Whereas Rashi points out, we're talking about shen v'regel over here, because by Karen, you don't have to say, because even rishus ha-rabim, where they both have rights to, there's going to be a liability. Rather, what we're talking about over here is by Shein V'Regel, The chiddush is that the Mishnah is telling us is that it's not considered like Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, where although seemingly on some levels like Rosh Hashanah Rabbim that they both have rights to, no, since it's not a public domain, it's only the two of them that have rights to it, then it's going to be like Bir B'Shtei Acher, because it is that other person's field too, in contrast to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, where it's everybody's, you're going to be liable. It's not like Rosh Hashanah Miuchedus only for the Mazik. Now, Rebbe Lazamer, he actually disagrees. He says, no, Pater Alashin Varegel. Actually, when you have a joint field, the owner of the ox will be exempt if it eats or if it tramples on the other person's stuff in their joint-owned field. And this is what the Mishnah is saying. Chutz mirshisa mecheddes lemazik. You're liable for damages except if it's a property owned by the mazik. And rishisa nizik v'amazik, if it's jointly owned, that nami pater. That's, as we pointed out, you're also going to be exempt by shein v'regel, because you need it to be a bir b'shtei acher in someone else's field, and it's not someone else's field because it's actually their joint field, and actually it's like Rosh Hashanah Rabbim on some level. But as Rashi says, Karen, you are going to be chayv because it's not any worse than Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Then when the Mishnah continues to kushahizik chav hamazik, that when he damages, the one who damages is going to be liable, what are those words going on then? That's coming to say a different halacha. It's coming according to Rabbi Elazar, lasuya Karen, to include the halacha of Karen. Because as Rashi points out, if it's coming to say, which seemingly the words over there are coming to say the halacha of meitav, of having to give the best of the field, that we already said in the first mishnah in the beginning of the Masechta. Rather, what's these seemingly redundant words coming to say? It's coming to include the halacha of Karen, that there's going to be a liability, which doesn't say explicitly in the first mishnah of our Masechta by the arba of the mazikin. Now the Gemara asks, Hani chalashmu. That's good only according to Shmuel, who says in the beginning of the parak that he explains what are the four mazik. And he says, Mavid refers to Shein. And when it says Shair, it refers to Regal. And so therefore, you don't say Karen. So you would need to have an extra terminology to include Karen, as we explained in the previous stuff. That's what the wording in our Mishnah is coming to include. But El Rav, the Amim, according to Rav, that he explains Mavid is Adam. And Shair, that it says in the Mishnah, the opening of the four mazikin, of the form Avis, actually includes Tana Shur v'chol mili d'shar. When it says Shur, it includes all the different mazikin of Shur. Shur includes Karen, Shein, and Regal, even Karen. So then Chava Mazik, Lasu Yimai, according to Rav, what would then, according to Rebbe Lazar, the words of Chava Mazik come into be including? It's not going back in the previous words the way you described it, because you're saying it's going to be Pater, the Rishos HaNizik v'HaMazik. So what are the words Chava Mazik going on? Lasu Yehad the Tan Rabbanan, it's coming to include this halacha which was taught in the following Braisa, where the Braisa explains exactly this point. When the Mishnah says kishahizik chavamazik, when there's damage, then the one who caused the damage is liable, says the Braisa. What's that coming to explain? That's lehevi, that's coming to include for a liability for damage regarding a shemachinam. It's regarding the four shemim, regarding someone that's watching for free, an unpaid custodian, v'hashel, or someone that's borrowed something, or nesesachar, or someone that's watching something for pay, or v'hasechar, or someone that's renting something. Shazika behemim b'shusan, where if let's say an animal causes damage in their property of the watchman, tam sham chatzinezik, it's coming to say that there's going to be liability for damage when it's the first few times, then it pays half the damages. Umud misham nesik shalom, when they already did it a few times, then it's going to have to pay the full damages, which the Gemara is going to shortly explain what exactly, who's being liable for causing what damage. But either way, as we'll explain, that's what the Mishnah is coming to include when it says keshahizik chavamazik. Then the Braisa continues and says, however, nifritza, but if let's say it breached a hole through the wall, balayla, at night times, by itself, in other words, we're talking about that it's a wall that wasn't shaky, so therefore it was an einus, it was beyond the person's control, oisha pertsu listen, the yatsis of ezika, or if let's say bandits came and they made a hole in the wall, and then the animal left and it caused damage, then pater, then the halacha is going to be that it's going to be exempt. That's the halacha, again, what do we explain the coin tribal laws if he's saying that Rishus HaNezik V'HaMazik is a continuation from Rishus HaMiuchedes LaMazik, that there's going to be an exemption from the Mazik, what he caused damage. That is, then, when the Mishnah then continues, says Kishizik HaMazik, then that's coming to explain a different halacha. Either, again, it's coming to include, according to Shmuel, the halacha of Karen, or according to Rav that says you already know Karen from Shair of the first Mishnah in the beginning of the Masechta, it's coming to include this halacha of the Braisa regarding the four Shaimrim when it causes damage in their Rishos. So the Gemara explains now that halacha. Amamar, the Master said, this is what the Braisa was saying, Keshezecha v'mazik, the words in the Mishnah are when the damage is, the Mazik is going to be Chayiv. So it said, what's that coming to say?
It's lehevi shemechina v'ashoel nesusacha v'asecha, that when the animal causes damage in their rishos, then there's going to be liability. So the Gemara says, hey chidami, what's the case talking about? As the Gemara explains, ilema de'aski tur de'mashal le'tur de'shoel, if it's talking about when the lender's ox, the ox that he's borrowing, damaged the ox of the borrower, meaning he borrowed this guy's ox, and now this ox is taking over his whole field, is goring, is causing damage to his stuff, and that you're saying that there's going to be liability, that's when this says kisha hizik chav hamazik, is when the share of the mashal is causing damage in the domain of the shayil, where when it's a tam, it's chatzin nezik, mu'ud nezik shalem, and that has to get more, but lemalei, let the mashal, let the lender tell to the borrower, wait a second, ilu azik bi'alma, if my ox that you borrowed would have caused damage in general, let's say it would have gored someone else's ox, but islish lumiad, you would have had to pay because shmiras nalecha, you are the watchman. You're supposed to watch my ox. So you would have had to pay. Hashta de aski latur didach, now that it gored your ox, being a lishlumi, you want me to pay? You have to pay for the damages of my ox. So you would have had to pay whoever, if it was someone else. Now when it's you, you have to suffer that loss. So why is the Brisa saying that the mashal has to pay? To Ella, rather, the case would be the other way around. To ask you tur de shoyel or tur de mashal. What's the case talking about? When the borrower's ox damages the ox of the lender who he has by him because he borrowed it. And that's what the Brisa is saying. That the first time, first few times, he has to pay chatzi nezik, but if it was a mood, his ox, he has to pay nezik shalom. And I have to Gemara ask why. Lemele, let the lender, let the owner tell to the shayel, to the borrower. Wait a second. Ilu itzazik mi'alma. If my ox that you borrowed would have gotten damaged in general, if let's say someone else's ox would have damaged my ox that you borrowed, but islish lume kula Torah, you would have had to pay up the whole damage of my ox, because one of the cases mentioned over there in the Brisa was a shayel. A shayel is a borrower. A borrower is chayv nainz, no matter what happens, he has to pay for all the damages. Hashta de aski tu didach, now that it's your ox that damages the ox that I lent you, palganisko de bishamasli, now you're paying me up only half the damages? What do you mean? Yeah, I know your ox is a shara taman, which usually pays only chatzi nezik. But forget about that. Even if it's someone else's oxen, you have to compensate me for all the damages because you're the shaymer. You're the shayel who's chayvin all the einzin. So Rav Gemara explains the case is talking about. And this is what, again, we're including from the words Kesha Hizik HaBamazik according to Rabbi Laza, as we see in the Brisa regarding in the Rishus of the Shemer. La'olam de'aski tur de'mash la'tur de'shal. The case is talking about when the lender's ox damages the borrower's ox. And that's what the Brisa is saying, is that the mashal has to pay up the borrower for the damage that his ox caused. Now, the question was asked, what do you mean? The borrower, it's his responsibility to protect that the lender's ox doesn't cause damage. Where if a normal would cause damage, he would be obligated. So now when the damage is his own ox, it's his responsibility and therefore his own loss. Why does the mashal have to compensate him? So the Gemara says, "V'achem ha'iskin." Here we're talking about in this case is shekibul olav, when the borrower accepted upon himself responsibility of shmiras gufay. When he says, "I'm borrowing from you this thing, or I'm watching this thing for you, I'm only taking responsibility that your ox is going to be protected, that no one else is going to damage your ox." However, as the Gemara continues, "Tabi v'dalam and olav." He did not take responsibility for the ox that he was borrowing, that it's not going to damage anyone else. And therefore, since it damaged his own ox, I didn't take responsibility. You're responsible, so he says to the mashal. You, since it's a tam, has to pay me chatzin nezik, and if it's a mut, has to pay me nezik shalom. Now, that thing we're asking, ihachi, if that's the case that's talking about, the emesefa, look at the end of the brisa. Brisa said, nifritz balayla, let's say breached during the nighttime, or shepetzu listen, or if bandits came and made a hole in the wall. And the yatsasa vezekud pater, then the animal went out because they made a hole and the damages, then he's going to be exempt. Now, the inference is, it's only because it breached it at nighttime or bandits did it, habayim chayim. But if it happened during the daytime, then they'd be liable. Who's going to be liable? So the question is, holy kibbalav shmiris nezakov. He didn't accept responsibility for the damages. The way it sounds like from the brisa is that, why is he exempt? Who's exempt? The shomer is going to be exempt. But then the Gemara asks, if that's the case, the way we just described it, where the shomer only took responsibility that the mashal's own animal won't get hurt, but not that the mashal's shur won't damage others, and therefore that he's not responsible for, and therefore if it damages his own, he's going to be able to collect from the mashal. But then Ema Sefer says the Gemara, then look at the end of the Brisa.
The Braisa says, Nifritza balayla isha patul listim. If let's say during the nighttime it broke through the wall or bandits broke through the wall, the yatsas of Azika, and then the animal goes out and causes damage, then Pati is going to be exempt. Now, the question is, it sounds like that's only because at nighttime or bandits did. Habayim chayv. But if it happened during the daytime, then he's going to be liable because that's not something as much as an einus. Now, the question is, holy kibbutz love shmiris nezakov. Obviously, we're not saying that the one who's liable, we're not saying, regarding the mashal, we're not saying that he's going to be exempt. Who's going to be exempt? Obviously, we're saying that the shemu, who he takes the responsibility of the mashal's things, that he's going to be exempt, which by day he's going to be liable. Now, how can you say he's going to be liable? You just said the first half of the case that he didn't take responsibility for the damages that it's going to cause. So, what are we saying here that he's only exempt at nighttime and during the day he's going to be chayiv? I think Gemara says, no hachikam, and this is what the Braisa is saying. Im, kibul alav, shmiris, nezak of chayiv, these are the words that are missing. But if he accepted upon himself the responsibility of the damages, then he is going to be chayiv. And then you're right, then if the mashal shur, which is like the first half of the Braisa, damages the shayel's ox, then actually the mashal is going to be exempt because you took responsibility. Now it's on that clause, which is not mentioned, that the Braisa concludes and says, in spite of that, nifritza balayla isha b'tzul listim, but if, let's say, if it breaks through at nighttime or bandits go ahead and make a hole in the wall, the yatsa b'zika pata, then it goes in and causes damage, then even though the shomer had taken responsibility for the hezek, then he's going to be exempt because that's not something that it was something way beyond his control and something that he accepted responsibility, then he's going to be exempt. So therefore, again, that's how the Gemara explains the Braisa is actually two different cases. First half of the Braisa that says regarding by the Dal Treyman, which we're including from the words Keshehezek HaVamazik, according to Rebbe Lazar's interpretation, that is not connected to to the Rishus HaNizik VaHamazik, is coming to include again either Karen or, like Rav, this case of the Braisa regarding the Dal Treyman. What about the Dal Treyman? That the Mashals Shur, the damages, the Shoyal Shur, in the Rishus of the Dal Treyman, of the Rishus of the Shoyal himself, that then there's going to be liability of who? Of the mashal on the shayel, because he didn't take responsibility for the damages that it's going to cause, just that nothing's going to happen to the shayel itself that he's borrowing. Therefore, the mashal is obligated. That's what the Braisa continues. It says, however, but if he did take responsibility, then he is going to be chayev. However, but if it's nivritza balayla oy shabritzul listim, then he's going to be exempt, even though he took responsibility regarding the damages that it causes.